8 in the fourth edition, the bottom of the page.
Well, that last paragraph on that page. Silky understood us quite well. He's told us what's wrong with our body. Now he's going to tell us what's wrong with our mind.
He said men and women drink essentially because they lack the effect produced by alcohol.
Now, a lot of alcoholics are highly offended when you tell them that. They say, oh, no, that's not the reason I drank. They say the reason I drank is because I love the taste of alcohol. I wouldn't argue with anybody whether they do or not. I love the taste of cold beer. Always have, all my life, as far back as I can remember. I also love the taste of cold mountain spring water. I don't ever remember sitting down and drinking a case of cold mountain spring water. Alcohol did something for me that cold mountain spring water didn't do. As a kid growing up, I was always on the outside of the crowd looking in. Always wanted to be a part of and knew it could not be. Always knew that whatever I said, whatever I did would be the wrong thing. People would laugh and I would be embarrassed by it. I just couldn't hardly function in society as a kid growing up. And one night somebody gave me a drink of moonshine whiskey. And all those feelings disappeared. And I was allowed to be just like the other kids. I was allowed to ask a girl to dance with me. Never had danced with a girl before. I was allowed to take her home from the dance. I was allowed to get in the back seat of a 36 Chevrolet with her and do some things I've been wanting to do for a long, long time. I loved what alcohol did for me. Now, if it gave me a slightly tipsy, out-of-control, nauseous feeling, I wouldn't like it. But remember, it gives me that great, exciting, in-control feeling and allows me to do things that I could not do on my own strength unaided. That's why people drink, people like us, that's why we drink alcohol, because of what it does for us rather than what it does to us.
We like the effect produced by alcohol, and many of us, there are many, many effects by which we drink. I'm like Charlie. First time I asked that girl to dance, and we started dancing, and this was after I took a drink. She said, well, Joe, I didn't know you could dance. And hell, I said, I didn't either. I'm having fun. So I use alcohol, but there are many, many effects. And we know that alcoholism is a progressive illness. It gets worse over a period of time. And the more I drank and the more I drank, the more I got into more trouble. And eventually I start doing some of those things and overdoing some of those things I always wanted to do, and I get in trouble. And then I drank for another effect, to get over the guilt, shame, and remorse of the trouble I got into the night before. And as time went by, my wives began to throw my stuff out in the yard. Y'all know what I mean by stuff, don't you? Dirty T-shirts, dirty shorts. They never throw out anything that's clean. I don't know why that is. And file for divorce and put restraining orders on me and take my money from me. Make me madder than heck. And I drink to get over some of those feelings. You know, many, many effects by which we drank. And in the very end, you know, I was drinking for the sickest effect of all was total oblivion. I just wanted out of it. And there's only one thing wrong with oblivion, though, isn't there? Is you wake up. And you got to do it again. And that's the effect I was looking for in the end. The sickest effect of all. And there are many, many effects by which we drink. The sensation is so elusive that while they admit it is injurious, they cannot after time differentiate the true from the false. I got to where I didn't know the true from the false about why I was drinking. He says, to them, their alcoholic life seems the only normal one. My drinking life became normal. My alcoholic life became normal. The abnormal had become normal, and I didn't know the true from the false. And I remember one morning many, many years ago, my wife and I drank together as much as we could. And we woke up one Sunday morning, and I had a clear thought. And I said to Phyllis, I said, Phyllis, do you realize that most people don't drink like we do? Now, this is what she said. I didn't say this. She said, bullshit. That's the way she talks. She said, bullshit. Everybody we know drinks just like we do. And I thought about that. And I said, well, that's true. Everybody I really knew drank like I did, or I didn't know them. Every bar that I went to, that bar drank somewhat like I did, or I didn't go to those bars. You know, I just didn't do that. My last drink was took at the Misty Dawn. Boy, it's a lovely place.
Still smell it today.
Yeah, I can smell it now. Ooh. So by the abnormal become normal. Now, this is what we are when we're not drinking. They are restless, irritable, and discontented.
Y'all remember how used to you'd get on one of those enforced periods of sobriety and how you'd become so restless and irritable and discontented and... Let's add a few more words to fill with shame and fear and guilt and remorse and worry and anxiety and all that crap that goes along whenever you're out there sober, trying to stay sober left on willpower. Any of you ever feel any of that when you were drinking?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Remember when you were brand new, they said if you don't drink, you're going to feel better? Well, man, you're going to feel better, all right. You're going to feel resentment better. You're going to feel anger better. You feel fear better. Because we don't have that alcohol to kill the pain. We're running around, we're stark, raving, sober. You see? And it says, unless we can again experience a sense of ease of comfort, which comes at once by taking a few drinks.
The mind begins to think about that great sense of ease and comfort that comes at once by taking a couple of drinks. And it begins to forget about the jailhouse. It begins to forget about the car wreck or the divorce court. And it's concentrating on only one thing, how great a drink is going to make us feel. And the next thing you know, we believe something that isn't true. We think it's okay to drink. And then we take a drink.
He said, after they have succumbed to desire again, you know, after a while, if you run around, you're restless, irritable, discontented, full of guilt, shame, remorse, resentment, and anger, you don't feel good. And after a while, if you were like me, you'd say to yourself, well, hell, you might as well be good and drunk is the way you are. And you justify yourself in taking a drink. And after they have succumbed to desire again, as so many do, and then the phenomenon craving develops, they pass through the well-known stages of a spree, emerging remorseful, with a firm resolution not to drink again. And how many times have I or you ever made that promise to myself or anybody who would listen? I'll never take another drink. I promise you I am through drinking. I'm never going to drink again. And you know that I meant that if you made those promises. And he said that this is repeated over and over and over and over. And unless this person can experience an entire psychic change, there's very little hope of recovery. He's not talking about the body. Now he's talking about the mind. Psychic is dealing with the mind. And Dr. Silkworth used the word psychic change. Bill talks about a personality change, a spiritual experience, a spiritual awakening. All of those things. Dr. Jung talks about ideas, emotions, and attitudes. We need a whole complete change, of a psychic change of ideas, emotions, and attitudes. I need to find a way to live to get over some of those guilt, shame, and remorse feelings that I have. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to stay sober.
Okay, you all bear with us now. We're going to be through in just a few minutes. On the right-hand side of this chart, we've drawn a little example here to kind of indicate what Dr. Silkworth is talking about when it comes to our mental condition. You know, all human beings have emotions. Sometimes we're sad. Other times we're happy. Other times we're mad. Other times we're worried. Other times we're afraid. All human beings have emotions. It seemed as though we alcoholics, as we were growing up, most of us were an actual emotional basket case. Most of us were just like I was. I didn't fit in anywhere. It just didn't feel right. I was always afraid, always worried. The pimple on my nose is twice as big as the pimple on your nose, and it just didn't seem to fit in anywhere I went, period. All people have emotions. Now, somewhere during one of those emotional tizzies, somebody gave me a drink of alcohol. And immediately when I took that drink of alcohol, for me, it's an upper. It's not a downer. Normal people, it's a downer, but for we alcoholics, it's an upper. And the instant I took that drink of alcohol in my system, all the worries, the anxieties, the fears, and everything that had bothered me up to that time disappeared. And I really felt good. I felt like I belonged. I felt like I was as good as. I felt like I could fit anywhere and be anybody or anything. Now, the mind is a marvelous mechanism. When you've got a problem and you find a solution, the mind immediately records that solution. And the reason for that is so the next time we have the problem, we don't have to start looking for another solution. The mind plays it back to us. And that particular night that I took that drink and it did so much for me, the next week or two or three, again, I'm a basket case. No alcohol in my system at all. Don't feel worth a damn. And I had an opportunity to take a drink. And my mind immediately recorded, told me what that first drink did for me, how great it made me feel. And my mind said, let's have another drink. And I took a drink, and sure enough, boy, the magic happened again. And you do that two or three times, your mind becomes mentally addicted, not physically, but mentally addicted to that solution. For several years, anytime I had a problem, anytime I didn't feel right, I could take a drink. I felt better, allowed to function like normal people could. But slowly, slowly, over a period of time, since my illness is a progressive illness, I began to get drunk. And some of the things began to happen to me now because of the excess alcohol that I was always afraid was going to happen to me before I ever started drinking. And I became a very, very confused individual. Now, like most alcoholics, when I reached that stage of my drinking, alcohol began to be a serious problem to me. I told them I didn't even think about quitting drinking. I told myself, Charlie, what you got to do is you're going to have to learn to control your drinking while drinking. You're going to have to cut down on the amount you consume. Or you're going to have to drink something different this time. Don't drink that damn vodka this time. Stay on good whiskey or whatever. Any of you all ever try to control your drinking while drinking? Yeah. Well, now on the left-hand side of the chart over here, I can see why I couldn't do that. I could not control my drinking while drinking because of the physical allergy. Now, after several years of trying to control my drinking while drinking, I finally said to myself, Charlie, I don't believe you can drink anymore. What you need to do is quit drinking.